Welcome to show number 27 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. Yo, what's happening, everybody? Hopefully everybody is doing all right out there. We've got another edition of the Sports Card Show. This has got to be about the fifth time I've tried recording this show. My computer is an absolute mess. At least it works to a certain degree. And shut down a lot of programs. Hopefully this won't close on me and we'll be able to get this show off. I meant to have this out early Monday, so some of this news might be a little bit dated, but at least we'll discuss it on the show. Personal note, I'm going to the San Jose Giants and Stockton Ports. They're high level class A baseball, and the San Jose Giants have got to have one of the most watched baseball teams, minor league, I almost said fantasy teams, but actually it's a minor league baseball team. They've got quite a few prospects, and given that I'm a fan of the Giants, it's easy for me to get up and go to the game. I think it's only going to be about $7. I think I'm going to go. I think they play them today all the way till maybe Sunday, and I think you can even get dollar tickets for Sunday, so I'm definitely going to go to some games, snap some pictures, and give my impressions on some of these Giants. They have Buster Posey, who is, I think, the third or fourth pick. Madison Bumgarner, who is, I think, rated the second number two prospect in all of minor league baseball, at least maybe pitching-wise. This guy is a beast, so he's going to be pitching tonight. They have quite a few other Giants prospects that I'm looking forward to seeing for the first time up close and personal, so I'm excited about that. As for today's show, we got a lot on the docket, mainly product news for baseball, considering baseball season just started. We'll talk about the early products in 2009, those kind of things. It is show number 27, so we have a sponsor, and it's Larry Johnson. Not Grandmama, but the football player, the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, wears number 27. I'm not exactly sure why, but it looks like he was drafted number 27th by the Kansas City Chiefs in 2003, so maybe that has something to do with it. And as a side note, Cubs fan 129 on our message board, sportscardradio.com. Check out the fan forum links. Cubs fan 129 in the TTM autograph section says Larry Johnson does sign through the mail, so that's very interesting. His address is there if you're interested. Other than that, we'll be running down some news. Larry Johnson, and we have an early baseball card preview of 2009. We'll be talking about all that in a little bit. First thing, maybe a little bit of news, personal news. I did some group box breaks. That's a tough word to say. I got to really slow down when you say that. But I did some group box breaks over the last 2 weeks when I was moving, actually, and got some pretty good cards. Really cheap. They were both $375 a spot, and it was like 2008 Donruss Classics football. I got the Bengals, of course, in both spots. Maybe not the best plus EV because John Elway autograph 205, I think, was pulled out of the first box. So really nice card there. Didn't get a chance at that. I think I got some serial numbered inserts. I didn't get an autograph or a jersey of any Bengals players, but I was pretty happy for, you know, about $750, $725. It's pretty good. I got some cards at least. You know, I didn't strike out, swing and a miss. So I was happy about that, and we'll put those pictures up on the website and the blog once these computers start working a little bit better. Other than that, that's about it for my own personal news. Let's get on to the news of the sports card world. Might be somewhat old, but I planned this show to be Monday or even last Monday, but it just didn't work out. But we'll still talk about it. Razor, we've talked about Razor. They had the exclusive minor league deal with some of these, you know, baseball prospects and stuff. They put out some decent products. They put out that Oval Office product that we talked about on the show, and according to our poll on sportscardradio.com, you guys don't like that kind of stuff, and maybe because one of the autographs is believed to be AutoPen, which is some kind of machine or something that signs the autograph as if it was by a real person. So I guess they put a real pen in there, and it looks like ink and stuff. So we'll see what happens with all of that. I do believe it was the Richard Nixon cut was believed to be fake. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that one is believed to be AutoPen, which I don't know if that's a serious mistake. Obviously, they bought this authenticated by somebody. So, you know, there's a lot of people to blame. Not necessarily Razer. Mistakes happen. But in a $1,000 or $2,500 product, you better take all the steps to make sure some of this presidential stuff is not AutoPen, because it is common. My parents, I do believe, have a Bill Clinton AutoPen and a Bill Clinton real one. And you can definitely tell the difference. And another little bit of trouble for Razer was that they were selling some autographs on eBay, kind of under a hidden name or kind of a, you know, a mysterious name, not a company name. And it was some Inkworks autographs. I guess they just bought this company, and that's, you know, 25, 30,000 autographs that they acquired. And so they were selling some on eBay, about 100 of them. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Didn't know if that was the right thing to do. So this guy, Brian, who owns this company, puts out his phone number. I don't know if it's his personal phone number or his cell phone number or what number it goes to, but I'm going to give him a call. We're not going to get it recorded because I still am not that cool at this technology. Plus, I like hearing my own voice. No, I'm just kidding. But I will call Brian and see what he has to say about these two things. One thing I will ask him is, why were you hiding selling on eBay? You know, eBay and Topps, and you know, Topps sells on eBay, Beckett sells on eBay, and they clearly identify what company it is. And I don't know why he would go through the back door and sell something. Seems kind of sneaky. Seems like they were trying to hide something. So we'll get to the bottom of that and see. You know, everybody makes mistakes, especially businesses, especially large businesses that are kind of, you know, at least national, and people might be buying this stuff overseas, so it could be a somewhat global company. So mistakes happen. So for people to get on this company and rip them and tear them down, first of all, they're new. If this was Upper Deck or Topps, it might be a little bit less forgivable. But considering they're new, mistakes happen, and we'll see what Brian's going to do going forward. And I'll let you know what he says. Other little bits of news. This is probably very old to some of you, but it's new to me. Topps Baseball 3D Live Insert Cards. And this year's Topps, hold the card in front of a webcam and a 3D player will appear. I thought that was very interesting. I don't think I'm going to try it. I saw a picture of it. Apparently, if you move the card, the player will move on the card and show up on your computer screen, I guess. I don't know. Sounds kind of interesting. I could only imagine what that will go to next. Now onto a little bit of sports card news in the business world. Once a $1 billion business, now in the $200 million range. This is for, I think, the total. It might be only baseball cards. It might be the total card market, but $200 million. That's a drop in the bucket. That's like penny change. That's what the, you know, I mean, $200 million. That's what the government gives out every 2 seconds to a company that's failing. So it's probably a bottom for cards, but one thing that I found that was very interesting is vintage cards probably buck this trend a little bit. I don't know if their market share has gotten any bigger, considering there's a finite amount of these cards, and they probably get less and less in terms of ones getting thrown away and damaged and fires and things like that. So vintage cards might have reached a bottom, and one example, probably the finest example of a vintage card, is the Gretzky Hannes Wagner card. This is the one that was purchased by, I believe, Wayne Gretzky and the owner of the Los Angeles Kings. Back in 1991, they bought the card for $451,000, which was a lot of, still a ton of money, but especially in 1991, that was a lot of money. About 4 years later, it looks like they sold it for $500,000 even. So they made about $49,000 in 5 years. That's about a 10%, a little over 10%, it looks like, gain. That's sensational in 4 years, especially in that time. And then a year later, the card sold again for $640,000. So it jumped $140,000 in 1 year. That's tremendous. Now take a look at this jump. 4 years later, from 1996 to 2000, it sold again for $1.265 million. So in 9 years, it went up from $451,000 when Gretzky bought it to $1.2 million 9 years later in 2000. Well, 7 years later, the guy held onto the card for 7 years. Well, it looks like he made some money because he sold it in 2007 for $2.35 million. And another sale was recorded a year later for $2.8 million. So that card has gone up, and it looks like 17 years, well over about $2 million, actually $2.4 million in about 17 years. That's sensational. Actually, yeah, that is 17 years. My math is definitely my weakness, but that's quite a gain. So vintage cards might buck the trend. Well, after this very short break, this break music is brought to you by TigersFan129 on the forum. This one's for you, Tigers fan. Hope you enjoy.
Tall and she grew up right with them Indiana boys on an Indiana night. Well, she moved down here at the age of 18. She blew the boys away, it was more than they'd seen. I was introduced and we both started grooving. She said, I dig you, baby, but I got to keep moving.
For what? Baseball preview for 2009. This is some early product that you'll be able to pick up in the next few weeks to coming months for the baseball. I don't know if it's everything, but I brought jotted down at least some products that I thought were worth mentioning. First product coming out April 28, Upper Deck Goodie Baseball. Should be in the $80 range, maybe a little bit more, probably not too much less since Upper Deck stuff doesn't go down a whole bunch. At least right when it comes out. They like to keep that price up. There's going to be original goodie buyback cards per case. So that's pretty interesting. And buying a case would drop a lot of money, but pretty interesting product. There's going to be one autograph and one memorabilia per box. So not a great deal, not a fabulous deal, I should say, for the $80 range, but not too bad. And it looks like for all Upper Deck products, there'll be 20, it's like their 20th anniversary, I guess. And there'll be like buybacks and special cards of those in every box and every case and things like that. Looks like they have like a one of those per case is like a really big hit. So most of the Upper Deck products, or maybe all of them, will have those 20th anniversary cards in there. So keep an eye out for those in terms of Upper Deck products. Second product comes out, looks like a day later, a couple days later, UD Piece of History, April 29th. Should be about $70, maybe a little bit more. And this is kind of some Hollywood stuff, some Hollywood memorabilia, some mix of other things in there. So I don't know how relevant of a baseball product this is, but I have Hollywood memorabilia down here, so I guess it has some of that in there. I'm sure it has baseball. I saw this on a baseball sales sheet, so I believe it has some of that in there. But $70, maybe $60 to $80, as time comes out, you know, a week or two later. So UD Piece of History, end of April, check it out. Third one, this is one of my favorites, Bowman Baseball. Should have 110 exclusive Bowman Chrome rookies in there, because what I do believe Bowman does now is they put exclusive Bowman Chromes in Bowman, and then they put the rest of the set in Bowman Chrome. So if you want to complete the quote-unquote complete set of Bowman Chrome this year, you have to buy a little bit of Bowman as well. So there's 110 exclusive Bowman Chrome rookies. It depends. Sometimes the Bowman is more hot than the Bowman Chrome, because those exclusive rookies are the ones that are in the major leagues, are the ones that are doing well. So you'll want to check that out. That's May 11th. You get, as usual, one autograph per box. And it looks like it's going to be in the 60 to 70. The prices swing on Bowman Baseball. I've seen it sometimes, like I said, it's high or higher than Bowman Chrome. Just kind of depends. It swings fairly high in the beginning. Bowman Baseball, it's something if you want to buy a lot of, I would say hold off. And see what happens with it. Because if you have a lot of money to spend, you might be better off just buying the good singles out of it instead of paying the good money to buy the boxes. Because sometimes boxes get a little pricey here. I've seen them over $100 in the $80, $90 range. And this is honestly, it's usually like a $40, $50 product in terms of cost-wise. So it's a very cheap product. I think the most I've ever seen is like in the $46, $47 range. So not something you want to blow like 80, 90 bucks on, because they're marking it up like 50, 100% there. So next product, this is another one of my favorites. I actually bought a case of this product. I think it was in 2006 maybe. I think I bought a case in the $1,300 range. And I sold it, I think, 3 months later for $1,600. With the fees, I only made maybe $150, maybe $175. But that's still pretty good if you invested, about $1,500, and you pull back about $150. That's decent return. But that's SP Legendary Cuts Baseball. Should be June 3rd, so a little bit later down the road. But should be $90 to $100 a box. I know that people like to price it right at 100, but you should be able to get it for less than 100 unless the legendary cuts are just crazy in it, which I doubt. We'll see. They have two legendary cuts per case, one mystery cut, and there's two on-card autographs per case. This is really a product that you don't want to buy by the box. I strongly, or by the pack, either one. SP Legendary Cuts is notorious for so many dud boxes because it's really a case product, because you're really looking for those legendary cuts and the mystery cuts, and it looks like, I guess, two on-card autographs. You really want to just do it by the case. So it's $1,400, $1,500 for the case. Unless you get a really nice deal, you might be able to get it into the $1,300 range. That's really how you want to do it. So I would not buy packs or boxes of SP Legendary Cuts unless you're buying it from like what you know is a fresh case, and you can buy like three or four boxes out of it, or at least a half case. Do not buy just one box and try to hit the legendary cut. You're going to get ripped off. Next product, and it's the last one I've got. This one comes out July 14th. UD Icons, similar to the football layout. It has two Letterman cards per box, and there'll be two Letterman autos per 12-box case. So I think SP Authentic Baseball a couple years ago had two Letterman autographs per box, and I think it was like, shoot, you could get it for like $60, $70 a box. This is $82.50, and you're getting two Lettermans per 12-box case. I don't know if this is going to be worth it. My guess is that $82.50 is going to drop significantly unless there's some funky short print cards that people are trying to collect out of there. Although people like Icons, I don't know if those Letterman cards at $82.50, if that's what you're getting for $82.50, two things that they cut and made themselves, I don't know if that's going to be worth it, but that's July 14th. I would look for the price to drop on that unless you really wanted to run with it. Well, after this short break, this next break, let me find it on my paper here. Obviously, I'm not very organized. This next break is going to be brought to you by Giants Fan. Actually, Giants 51, not Giants Fan. May not be Giants Fan. I don't know. Giants 51. This great music is for you. We'll be back.
Living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, check out everything at my stride, don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing I'd rather do, going down, party time, my
enjoyed that. I sure did. Haven't heard that song in a while. I realized I had another sheet around here that had some baseball products or some more relevant products that came out this week, but I cannot find it for the life of me. So we're going to swing into Larry Johnson, number 27 for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was drafted in 2003. That was a somewhat decent draft class. I think some of those players have had really up and down careers. Had Carson Palmer, obviously, is the number one pick. I do believe Ronnie Brown, Cadillac Williams, Larry Johnson, among others in that draft. So those guys have all had very, very up and down careers. You could probably describe all four of those players as up and down. And Larry Johnson, at the particular moment, isn't in a down mode, and his stuff is extremely affordable compared to where it was. And I'm sure Carson, Ronnie Brown, and Cadillac William probably all in the same boat. In 05 and 06, Larry Johnson rushed for 1,700 plus rushing yards each year. That's incredible. Well, last year he had barely half of that, 875 rushing yards, or 874 last year. And he's had less than 200 attempts the last 2 years. So Larry's been bothered by, I think, some injuries, some off the court or off the field stuff. Not really anything major. But Larry's been having some problems. He's still getting paid. But people that have held onto his rookie cards are feeling the hurt, because his SP Authentic Jersey Rookie out of 850, really nice card. It's only a jersey piece out of 850, not super rare. But a BGS 9 sold for on March 31st for $45, 15 bids. I remember that card was in the hundreds, maybe approaching 1,000. That card, a BGS 9.5, very fine example. Another very fine card that has gone down considerably, a Donruss Elite Autograph BGS 9 Raw graded. Raw is, we'll talk about Raw graded in a second. Ended March 31st, same day. That only went for $21. So a Donruss Elite Autograph BGS 9 Raw, $21, 12 bids. Super dumpster. I mean, Larry Johnson, $20 for an autograph rookie BGS 9 and a BGS 9.5 SP. Basically his best rookie. Doesn't have an autograph on it, but it's a really, really nice set. 2003 SP Authentics, really nice set. Tony Romo, ironically, is in that set. $45 for an autograph of that. That's super cheap. So we'll see what happens to Larry going forward. He obviously has to turn it around. 875 yards. Nothing in today's game. Football's tough, man. I tell you, running back's a very tough position. It seems like you have your window. We've seen even LT's window. When the window's open, it's usually wide open for a running back. But when it closes, it closes shut. So Larry Johnson definitely in the dumps. And we'll see if he can turn it around. But in terms of him going forward, like I said, it's all about stats and it's all about perception. We'll see if the Chiefs can turn around. We'll see if Larry can turn around and maybe get this chip off his shoulder and start working harder. That probably has a little something to do with it. I think he got paid right after 05 and 06, and so he needs to start producing. So we'll see if he can do that, and we'll see if he does it. And if he does, you'll see these rookie card prices go up considerably. But he does sign through the mail. Like I said, head over to sportscardradio.com, and you'll be able to find his address, something you can hook up Larry Johnson, have him send you something. That'd be pretty cool. It beat paying $21.50. You'd basically get it for maybe like 80, 90 cents. So maybe give that a shot. So after this short break, we will be talking a little bit about graded cards. I've gotten some emails. I'm going to set something up. I have the photos set up for my website. I'm going to have a little tutorial up there. But we will be working on that. But in the meantime, I'll go over a little bit of what I know on the air. And we'll be talking about that. I looked up and it was only a 20-minute show. So, but I had gotten an email or two about grading cards, and I know there's a post on the forum that I'm waiting to get back to on as well about grading cards. So I'll just kind of go over on the air. Basically, what you want to do with your grading cards, you only want to grade cards that are usually considered either rookie cards or, you know, really fine autographs and jersey cards. But you want to be careful because you don't want to just send it in just because it's that example. It does need to be appear to be in fine condition to what you believe to be in perfect condition. I would never send anything that has been made, you know, any card made after 1990 or maybe 1992-ish, 1993-ish. I would never send it in unless I thought I was going to get a 9 or a 10 on it. It's just not worth it. You're going to be paying too much to encapsulate it for something that won't jump the value. Now, that being said, if you have some nice autograph rookies, especially if really nice sets for football, off the top of my head, like Contenders autographs do fairly well graded. And baseball, it's like Bowman Sterling. I know you can send in Bowman Sterling cards and get 10s all day. So those kind of things, they do get graded, and that also kind of you know, has an effect on the prices. Some cards, like I said, Bowman Sterling tends to grade out very well in baseball and any sport. So finding a fine grade in that, finding a 9.5 is not particularly rare. It will jump the value on the card, but there are what is called population reports where PSA and BGS has up on their website where they'll tell you the actual number of cards submitted, what grades were on all of those. So you can see, you know, if there's only 20 cards set in of a certain player and there's only four BGS 9s or, you know, even less than that, or maybe you have the only one, you can definitely... you know, I would pimp that on my eBay auction, or if you're trying to sell it, I would definitely make a note of that and make a little link through to that, because that's a very important piece of information. Now, if you have Bowman Sterling cards where, you know, thousands of them have been graded and hundreds of them have been BGS 9.5, which is often the case, it doesn't necessarily raise the value. It might a little bit, but not as much as when you see those really low examples. Things like 1996, 1997, Kobe Bryant, those kind of, Topps Chrome Kobe Bryant rookies, those cards in fine condition, BGS 9.5 and above, always go for quite a bit of money, and it definitely beats selling it raw. So, and when I say raw, it usually means just ungraded, but BGS also has a raw grading system where I think you can, I don't know if you can do it through the mail, but I think you can do it at card shows. You can have them grade a card, and they'll put it in a card saver and then put a seal over the top of it, and it'll say BGS 9 or BGS 10 or whatever, and you can keep that card that way and sell it that way, and it's a much cheaper way to get your card graded. Or you can then send that card into BGS and get the full plastic on it, or you can go ahead and peel off the sticker and break the seal and pull the card out. If you know, if you got a 7 or 8 and you didn't want that, just peel it out, and maybe you could sell it raw for you know, maybe about the same price. Maybe you got a bad surface grade. I've sent in cards that were gorgeous. I remember having a Dirk Nowitzki. It was like a flare. It was like back in 1998, 1999, Dirk Nowitzki rookie, I think, and it was a beautiful card. I think I got like 9.5s on everything, and for some reason I got like a 5 on the surface, and it made it like a horrible grade. Like, if I would have got a good surface on the card, I would have gotten a huge grade, because I think it was like 9.5, 10 on everything except for the surface. There must have been something I could not see. Somehow BGS Microscopes picked it up. So grading cards is not something I do very often, but in terms of pricing, it all depends on the speed you want the card back. If you want your cards back within a week or two, it's going to cost you considerable amounts of money, probably upwards of $20 to $30 a card. If you're willing to wait, like I was, I know I sent in back when BGS used to run, I don't know if they still run it, I don't get their magazines really anymore, but they used to do 10 for 10 deals where you got 10 cards for $10 each. And obviously you had to pay for shipping and insurance, which isn't too much for, you know, it ends up being maybe $1 a card. So you're looking at maybe $11, $12 to grade. That's very affordable. I do believe most companies have, BGS, for example, has like 45-day or like 60-day waits where you can get it for like $8, $9 a card. I don't know if they've raised their prices recently, but we will have a little tutorial up on our website. I got an email. I'm going to run you through the process of packaging the cards, you know, making sure they're safe, and then hopefully these websites have everything. We'll have links to, you know, all the things that you need to download and fill out to grade your cards. PSA is a little bit different. I don't know if they still do it the same way, but you have to join their little collector's club, and I think you get a certain amount of free grades, and you get some magazines and stuff throughout the year. I think it's fairly affordable if you're thinking about grading 10 to 15 cards anyway. It's something that you might want to do. And BGS is more the open submission. You don't have to subscribe to anything, although they might have deals now. I know if you subscribe to their magazine, sometimes they give you free grades and free, you know, submissions and things like that. So that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. But in terms of which one you go with, if you PSA is notoriously known as a little bit easier on the cards than BGS because they don't have that half grade. I think they do have a step grade now if you request it. But PSA, you know, if it looks fairly mint, they're going to give you a 9, whereas BGS, you have a chance of getting that 8.5, which is kind of an awkward grade and doesn't sell very well. You might as well have the card raw. You probably get about the same price or maybe a little bit more, and you would have saved yourself grading the card. But that being said, BGS 9s tend to sell for a little bit more than PSAs. And BGS 9.5s usually get a little bit more than PSA 10s. And then you have that chance for that BGS 10, which is that pristine kind of one-of-one card. I do believe there's like a Michael Jordan example out there that sells for a ton of money. So you do have a chance of hitting like a Grand Slam, once-in-a-lifetime hit with that grade. So that's one reason maybe you go with BGS. And also they don't have the subscription and the club thing going on. So you'll want to keep an eye on that. But I do know if you go to really nice sports card dealers, I was with Beckett, I could give people a discount when I had my own store. I could people could come in. I think they got it for like 20% off whatever the price is. And I know PSA, I worked at a card store where they had a little deal with PSA where people could submit their cards through the card store. And the card store makes a little bit of money, and the customer doesn't have to sign up for the club and things like that. So keep an eye out for those if you've got a sports card you know, dealer in your area and they're kind of integrating cards. You might want to ask them about that. I know if they carry Beckett magazines, all you had to do was call Beckett up, and they'll send you this form, and then you start getting like 10% off, or, you know, I don't know how it worked, but you got some money off on the grading. And I did it for a couple people, and it worked out pretty well. So that's a little bit on grading. We'll definitely have something up on sportscardradio.com by the end of the month, a little tutorial. I've got the photos and everything kind of laid out. I've just got to tie the rest of the ends together. But it'll be a complete little tutorial on how to grade your cards, what you want to do, things you want to look out for, how to package them, how I've been packaging them, and how it seems to work. So you want to keep an eye out on that, and I'll let you know when it's up. Now, that's about it, but I'm going to the San Jose Giants and Stockton Ports game. I think at least two of the next three games, or maybe three of the next three. I don't know. We'll see how it's been windy here in Northern California. So I wish that would die down, although how can I complain? The sun is shining, and the sky is like crystal blue here. Although, when I say crystal blue, there's always a little haze in the air, especially here in the valley. But I will be going to those games, and I will be having another show shortly to report back on that, hopefully on Monday. I want to do shows every Monday. I've got it on record. Hold me to it, guys. Send me an email when I don't have a show up by Wednesday. And when I say Monday, usually I want to record the show on that day. Like, I've recorded this show, let's see, it's like Thursday. It's April 16th. Hopefully I can get this out to you today, but I have obviously some computer issues. That doesn't always let me do everything I want to do. And obviously mixing. I don't know if I've said this on the show. Recording the show, this will take me about 30, 40 minutes just kind of running through. I don't do, although this was a rare example. I've did several takes on this show, and I think it's come out worse every time. But it actually takes me about maybe less than an hour to record the show. It takes at least an hour and a half to add all the music and do all that and download it if I don't happen to have any AC/DC on hand, and things like that. So, we'll see what happens. And then getting it up on the server on Podbean is always a beast and tricky, but hopefully it all works out. It's April 16th. Hopefully it's not May 16th, April, May, June, July. We'll see when the next show comes out, but I'm hoping it's Monday, which I guess is about 4 days from now. So April 20th, April 21st, expect another one. Hopefully you all enjoy it, and I'll talk to you guys then. Have a good weekend. Good luck with your collections. I'm out of here.